Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have tuned in to Cowboy Church.
We're so glad to have you with us. We're in Susie's living room. This is the fire back here going, and everything's warming up just right. You know, I love the atmosphere in the living room.
Yes.
It's my favorite room of the house.
Yep.
And, well,
Except for the kitchen.
Maybe the kitchen. It's pretty close there. But I was thinking, and this is kind of an abstract thing, but I was thinking some of our favorite guests that we've had on the program, and I was looking over, and this is, the fire's warming up, and usually what do you drink with a warm fire?
Oh, I love to get up in the morning and light the fire and snuggle up to it and have my first cup of coffee.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really hot outside and you have to get out on the porch and you just want to overlook that pretty valley
that you have
out there with your cattle,
mm-hmm.
what do you like to take with you there?
Well, you know, it depends on my mood for the day, but boy, in the morning, you're talking about
it's
in the morning?
It's always a coffee, right?
A cup of coffee, yes.
Well, I was thinking about your valley with your cattle in there, and you have these little, in Oklahoma they're ponds. In Texas
ponds.
We call them tanks.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And I was thinking of the Sons of the Pioneers,
mm-hmm.
the song that they sang, the Cool Water,
mm-hmm.
and when they present mm-hmm. that Cool Water song, I always have these visions of what that cool water is going to taste like, because the Bible talks about around heaven there being that water there, and I've heard of people who have seen and been there and come back, and every time they do, they say there's people enjoying that water and stuff, and I think of the times I'm really thirsty, and that cool water, and it makes me curious for heaven.
So
one of the reasons we're here is to inspire curiosity about heaven. What about heaven that makes you curious?
Well, the whole thing is curious to me. I know that many of my loved ones are in heaven. I recently lost my mom, and I don't even say mom, it's my mama, and she was begging to go. She says, oh, can't I die? I just want to go. I want to go. And then we witnessed her talking to Daddy, who had died years previously. And she said, where have you been? And it was like, take me with you. You know, take me to where you are.
Yeah.
And my grandma's there. My other grandma that I never got to see, I know is there. And it just is a place where we can bask in God's glory, you know, even more without the distractions of life. But you were talking about our valley down here, and we've got this pond, and those cows will go up belly deep to get to the cool water.
On a hot day, yeah.
So you better go in pretty deep into God's word, into his presence, into the life that he has for us, to really experience that coolest, most refreshing experience with him.
I think
to go deep.
I think you're on target. I think you ought to tell the people that we're gonna go deep today. It's gonna be cool.
You better get your waders on today, because we are going deep. We're gonna go where the water's coolest and where the frogs hang out, and I guess. And we're gonna get into God's word, a little bit of singing, a whole lot of word, and we're so thankful that you have joined us today. Welcome to Cowboy Church. Welcome back to Cowboy Church. We're so glad that you've joined us today. So come with us around a campfire where we ultimately enjoyed the Sons of the Pioneers sing one of their best songs, Tumblin' Tumbleweed.
tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Only but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. Cares of the past are behind. Trail will wind, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. I know when night is gone that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along, deep in my heart is a song.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world of lost sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will claim to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. And so I'll share
what an interesting Sunday we have. It kind of goes along with our world. How many of you are just intrigued by all the things that happen on a daily basis? And isn't it a yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay time of our life? I mean, this 2020, we were talking about vision. We had no idea what our eyes were going to see. I think we want to go back to sleep and pray for 2019 again. But every week it gets more exciting, I think. And here's why it gets exciting. Because if you're a person of the Word of God, you realize that when the church is raptured and we get to go to heaven, the presence of God and the influence of Christian people will be removed, and people will be deceived at the very core. And it's not going to happen without us being toned into a brain-dead situation coming into it. Then the presence of God is removed, and I'm telling you, the devil himself is going to have his way. And all we're seeing is like precursors to the time that's about to happen. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. And the reason I'm excited about it, I am part of the redeemed. I've given my life to Christ. And when this happens, I don't have to stay here for the Holocaust that will happen when we exit. So there's a lot to be excited about here. Because it's Family Sunday, I thought, I was reading in our devotions. Several of us in the church are reading through the Bible at the same time. And so I was reading about, we read the book of Ruth in the past week, and I had this really, I'm reading in the NTL, New Living Translation, and the word there caught me, that it was the family redeemer in chapter 2, verse 28. And I want to, verse 20, excuse me. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." I'm going to be talking about our close relatives. There's a couple of other words that are used. One is the word kinsman. If you read King James, it's the word kinsman. If you're reading the New Living Testament, it's called a family redeemer. And that's what we're going to talk about, is our kinsman, our family redeemer, one of our close relatives, and we're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, today, would you bless this message? God, I pray that you would send an extra anointing of your Holy Spirit on the hearts of people that want to hear your word and understand how you feel and think. God, may this be words that come from your throne. God, dispel the words that I add to it, but make it yours. And may my words line up with yours today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things. Kinsman, the word kinsman, the Hebrew word for it is goel. And I'm sure I didn't pronounce that correctly. And I feel like if you know how to pronounce that, you can help me. And if it doesn't make any difference to you, we're going with goel. The kinsman slash goel. Here's a couple of things about that. The nearest relative, he is charged with the duty of restoring the rights of another and avenging the wrongs of the people in his family. There's three aspects to it. One is the avenger of blood. Number two is to purchase back. And number three involves moving to something greater. So the first one is the avenging of the blood. It has to do being for the person who is having difficulties in the relatives. And here's the story. Naomi had gone to Moab. Her sons had married Moabite girls, and all three of them lost their husbands. And so they wanted to come back to Israel because that was Naomi's home ground. The girls were from Moab, and one of them stayed in Moab. The other one makes this declaration of covenant that we use at weddings, that your people will be my people, your God will be my God, and I'll live where you live. And in declaring that, she made a covenant that she was going to be part of Naomi's family. She found something in that family that she's going to be a part of. And they went back to Israel. Just the two of them went back to Israel. And in Israel, That was Naomi's home ground. And Naomi, as a widower, was now in a very difficult position in life. And her position in life, she still owned from her family the family ground. And it was time for her to do something because she had no way of making an income. She was going to sell or lease the property for the remainder of the 7 years that you can do that, and then the property would go back to the family. So in the middle of that, she comes home. They need food. She sends Ruth out to Boaz's place. And this sentence or this scripture is about her relation to Boaz. She says, Boaz is one of our family redeemers. He is our kinsman. And here's the duty of the kinsman. In the Avenger of Blood, it says this: he will redeem the relative from slavery. He will repurchase the property of the relative who had to sell it. And his job is to marry his brother's widow. That would be a difficult thing to make sure that if they had no children, to make sure that they had children to inherit the next property and to receive restitution if the brother had died. So the order of this kinsman goes like this. It's first of all a brother. And if there's more than one brother, it's the older brother. Remember when the people, the Pharisees, confronted Jesus? They said there was a man, and he married this lady, and he died, and she was given to the next man. And he died, she was given to the next brother. He died. They're going through this order. That was the order of this the whole idea of kinsmanship. And gets to the end, and the last one died, and nobody had any sons out of this girl. Whose wife is she going to be on the day of judgment? And Jesus says, he said some other words, but basically is what he did. You don't understand the scriptures. So it's the brother. And the brother's job is to do this. That's the four, but if Naomi's husband had been murdered, then it's the kinsman's job to be the prosecuting attorney. They didn't have or pay for prosecuting attorneys. The one who did that would be the person, the kinsman of the family. So say one of your family members had to go to court or had, well, the person who was the redeeming person, he would go through this process. Look at this. He would bring it to court. He would find the evidence, do the research. He would present the evidence to the court. He would argue against any attempts to pardon the person that he felt the infraction caused the infraction. And he would, after the court's verdict, what he would do is he would be the executor of the punishment. And our United States was set up that way. When somebody committed murder in the early days and they were to face a firing squad, the people in the firing squad was part of the family that had lost a family member. So in their courts, the person who was had these responsibility, he was actually what Boaz was to the family, or one of. He was in line. And if you read through the story, you realize that he's not first in line, he's second in line. So the second part of this is this, that when we're looking at all of it, is we need to understand that this is a picture of who Jesus is to us. When we're talking about great Redeemer in our worship this morning, we were talking about Jesus being the Redeemer, and he is the one who goes through all of these processes, and you look through it, he redeems us, the relative, from slavery. He purchases the property from the relative who had to sell it, or for the relative, and he produces through his brother's widow what the basic is we become a member of the family, and any of the line that comes in gets a chance, as we dedicated children to the Lord this morning, the dedication of those children, we're claiming them for the glory of God, and those children become God's own properties and are given a chance to commit their own life to Christ and be part of the family. The next thing is he brings it to court, and the Bible says about God, he says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." He's the one, and this is such a great thing for us to understand as people. It's not our job to go out, you know, we always use the line, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's not our job to go out and execute judgment. It's our job to go out and get evidence and bring it to a system where the court can take care of it and a logical decision can be made by people outside the family who are not emotionally attached. And the punishment, when they dole it out, when a person is found guilty, the punishment is set up like this: an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you killed a horse, you give a horse. If you killed a cow, you give a cow. It's equal for equal, and it's so that the judge will have a judgment call to tell the family, this is what the judgment is, and this is what you receive because of this. Our court systems have gotten completely out of whack when we can go out and sue somebody for $40 million because they caused the headache. You're never going to see $40 million in your life. You don't work that hard and you don't work that smart. You're going to be up for about, and be logical. Well, if the Word of God was actually in play, so many things would become better. And the United States was based, the legal system, was actually based on this kind of biblical perspective on how to do legal things. So that's a nearest relative. The next thing is this, and I'm going to go back to kinsmen for just a little bit. The purchase back and the avenger of blood. One of the things, one of the great things as men and women of God, when we commit our life to Christ, we come under God's blessings and under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are covered by His blood. That's a relative term that says this, and if you can see it, when Ruth goes back to Naomi and says, Boaz has treated us wonderful. Look what he's given us. She says, do this. Because she realized she was not going to be able to care for Ruth, that Ruth needed a covering, and Ruth, had Naomi died, Ruth would be out on her ear. Ruth was a Moabite. I don't know if you know anything about the Moabites, but the Moabites are this. Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And he destroyed them because of their homosexuality. And Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot's two daughters thought that there was no sons born yet. They need to make sure that Lot has a son. So they got their dad drunk and had incestuous relationship with their dad. And a child was born. And the tribe of Moab came to be. Ruth was a descendant of that. They were so bad that they were the ones who hired Balaam. Remember Balaam, the guy who rode the donkey, that the donkey talked to him? They hired Balaam to curse the men and women of God.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.